Spark your entrepreneurial pursuits with our guests' best-kept secrets for growing their business and healthcare practices. Get the how-tos that host How Alpr uses to win record sales for business owners and managers. This is Business Works.
Welcome to Business Works. This is Hal Alpr, along with my guest today, special guest, Justin Davis, the owner of Brost. And we will talk about that in a minute. As you probably have gathered over time, I am a national award-winning author and consultant specializing in creative marketing and management coaching and writing services for business and healthcare practices. Recently teamed up with computer guru Randy Robbins and now have a full range of online services through Randy's help. If there's any question you have about the show, the guests, or any passing thoughts you might have about things we discuss, send an email to hal@businessworks.us. And just put 941 in the subject line, and we'll be happy to get back to you promptly. Today's guest, Justin Davis. And Justin, you want to say hello? And Justin's the owner of Brost.
Yes. And my wife, I should say that as
well. And my wife. Lucky guy, you said it up front.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And your wife's name is?
Hannah.
Hannah. Okay. So you have this business together. Your manager I've met, Noah Scotland, mm-hmm. and your head roaster, Andy, is that right?
That's right.
Andy's last name is?
Pittman.
Pittman. Okay, yeah. Good. They've been very helpful and very cordial. I've been having meetings at Brost a few times, and it's been good because it's relaxing, it's quiet, get the opportunity to just kind of talk from the heart with people, and that part I enjoy. Brost is on 17 West Spring Street, and that's the corner of Spring and Walnut in Cookeville. So if you're around town, you got to stop by there and try the coffee. We're going to hear all about that, but they roast it themselves. Mm-hmm. Justin and Hannah have been very innovative in terms of dealing with the coronavirus and the issues at hand for businesses. So we're going to talk about that as well. And Justin, maybe you could start us out a little bit. Tell us how you got into this and how did you end up as a coffee guy? You know,
it's funny. It really all ties to really me and my wife and our relationship. Our first date was at Starbucks. As much as it's hard to say.
Okay.
Of course, this is several years ago. Uh-huh. I'm also a pastor as well. And so over the years,
Can we talk about that? It's not just totally parenthetical. You can say it.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah,
good.
Absolutely.
So you're a pastor, and where are you a pastor, and what's that about? And then we'll come back to Brost.
So when I finished college, I had planned to go to school, things like that. I felt like the Lord was calling me into ministry, and spent a couple of years at Life Church dealing with students. We had our first kid, just a lot of life change. Actually planned to go back to school and ended up going back to Washington Avenue Baptist Church, which is where I'm a pastor now. And that's where me and my family grew up.
Washington Avenue Baptist Church.
Yes, sir.
Tell us where that is for people who don't know.
It's on Washington, 1621 North Washington Avenue.
And Cookeville.
You get right by the, there's a fire station right there.
Okay.
And get over the railroad tracks if you're heading north, and we're right there on the right.
All right. And so how long have you been there?
I've been there as a pastor for, going on 7 years. September will be 7 years, because that's right. It was right after my daughter, my first child was born. And I've actually been, a member and a tender there all but 2 years of my life.
Okay.
And so grew up there, and it's been a great experience. I love, right now I do media. I do our music, graphic design, website, video, whatever they need me to do. I've always kind of been that way.
Tell us a little bit about Brost now, how that came about and where it is now and where you see things going.
Yeah. So, Brost was began in a friend of mine's basement in, I think roughly 2014, he began roasting in a, old Jiffy Pop, popcorn maker. And actually I remember buying from him. He's a pastor as well here in town. And I remember buying from him early on when he got things started.
Did we give him a plug too?
Yeah, Zach Buckner. He's now the new, officially as of this week, he's the new campus pastor at Life Church's Livingston campus.
Oh, okay.
And he's up there, and he's done worship. Super talented guy. Great business mind. Just a go-getter. Zach's a good guy. And
by you giving him a little boost here, he has to donate to your church, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly right.
Okay.
Yeah, Zach's great, and he just another coffee guy, and started roasting, got popular. And Zach put in a lot of, I've always heard it called, just sweat equity. Just getting into places, going on weekends, doing a lot of shows, and built up a business that we were fortunate enough to purchase May of last year. And so we've got, we do our own roasting. We roast wholesale for some other coffee shops in the Upper Cumberland. We supply Tennessee Tech coffee for their cafeteria, for some of the catering things that they do. The Chamber of Commerce uses it in their business office. And we enjoy that side of things a lot. We want to be able to, we've always said our tagline is we roast coffee for the community that loves to drink it.
And how did you get started with that? I mean, did you just travel somewhere and see coffee beans sitting and figure out they had to be roasted? And how did that happen?
Fortunately, Andy's got all the knowledge there. But it's been neat for me to learn too. We actually traveled to Minneapolis last year, not right now. And we visited the company that now is our importer. So the people we get our green coffee from. Cafe Imports. And then we visited with the company for an educational course, Mill City Roasters. And that's the company that we have our roaster through. And we're able to really learn a lot of the science behind it and even just new ways. Like, you know, people come in and, you know, growing up, my family doesn't drink. My mom doesn't like it. She comes by and gets drinks from the store without coffee in them, actually, which if that you're not a coffee person, we got you. I promise we can make it happen. My dad drinks about 2 cups a year. He told me the other day, so I've increased my coffee intake. I'm drinking 2 cups a year now. But for me, I loved it. But I've always loved what I found in like cafes and coffee shops and even learning the science behind it and learning how just where the bean comes from, the elevation it's grown at, how it was processed, whether it be a natural process, a wash process, through more of a drying process. There's so many different ways, and every part of the world is different in the countries they come from. But you start to learn why people like certain origins of coffee or where they come from, why someone loves a coffee from Colombia and someone loves one from Brazil. And if you're like us at the shop, our favorite's from Ethiopia. And you get to see how it changes palates. And so there's all this community, and you can have a conversation with anybody of any age from really anywhere. You know, none of the things that we so often get caught up in really matter in that term. And that's what I love about learning about coffee is it expands our idea of community.
Well, it's not just that either. I've been drinking coffee all of my life, I guess. What did I tell you? I'm 127 now. It wasn't anything special to me. It was just something I had every day.
Yeah.
But as starting to go to Brost, one day, and I believe it was Noah, had suggested that I have hot milk in my coffee. And I thought he was nuts.
Whatever
you suggest. And it turned out to be great. It really changed the whole taste of the coffee to me instead of having cold milk.
Yes.
I couldn't believe it. So now, of course, that's all I'll have.
Yeah. Well, and for me, I drink cold brew every day. And the kind of the science behind it, the process with which you get cold brew creates typically, if you do it right, a lower acid content. And I've got some gastrointestinal issues and get a lot of acid reflux. And so probably actually when I started buying from Zach, the previous owner, I started using his beans to make my own cold brew.
Uh-huh.
And that's always helped. So I still every day. I drink now it's a chocolate cold brew, but that's what I drink every day. But it is fun.
You're making me thirsty now. Okay.
We know where we're going after, at least. So.
All right. Well, that sounds great. And how did, so this kind of came along almost like a child with your marriage.
Yeah. Yes.
In a sense.
Yes.
How long now have you've had this particular location, this store, for?
My wife and I for right over a year, but it's been the storefront opened in, I think, late 2017.
Yeah, that's when I remember. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, that's on the corner of Spring Street and Walnut in downtown Cookeville, not downtown, but in on the west side of town.
Yes.
And well worth the, few minutes from 111 and also from 90, if you have friends coming through or something on the way. How did you learn about the roasting process? What started that? Did somebody say, "Oh, you have to learn how to roast, roast your own beans," or something?
You know, it's a neat thing that it's kind of like learning a skill. And for us, what we've done is I want to know enough to know directions that we can go. But Andy's the one who really gets to play and have fun. And your roaster matters. How it is built matters. It's the coolest thing with our roaster. Like when you apply heat and you apply energy, it all has to do with the roasting process of coffee is getting enough energy into the drum to get into the coffee to get it to essentially pop like popcorn. It's a very similar process. Mm-hmm. But I've always enjoyed science. I've been called a jack of all trades and a master of none. I don't know if I like that or not yet. So I just love learning.
It's a good thing for a pastor.
It is. Well, and I love to learn, and Andy does too. Over Christmas, he showed me a book back in January. He's like, "Oh, look, I got this book on roasting," and even going, like I said, going to Minneapolis, learning from people, watching videos. When we decided we want to buy the business, I sat around and watched YouTube videos and learning the science behind it. Why you do certain things, and there's always something new to learn. There's always new ways to do it. And one thing I love about what we learned in Minneapolis is like, even when you think you've messed up something with coffee, it may be the next big thing. They were, it was so funny. They're taking just coffee that obviously people had just torched and going, no, this could be good in this way. That's what's enjoyable about learning about it. But to have good coffee, you've got to know how to treat it. It's kind of like a steak a little bit. Anyone can throw a steak on a grill, but knowing what to do with it before you get it, what to do with it once you get it on the grill, like there's, you know, everyone's got their own way too,
right,
but
right.
Sometimes some are just better than others,
right.
And you can't just get out there and guess.
Well, that gives us a whole background here of thinking about your business and what we're looking toward now as we're going to take a short break in a minute, but when we come back from that, we want to talk a little bit about what kind of impact the coronavirus has had on your business. How do you end up being able to think creatively with all that pressure and keep your business going and some of the innovative things that that Justin's business has done to stay with it and be able to continue to survive this pandemic that we've been going through. And actually grow in the period of time. So, we're going to talk a little bit about the creativity involved with that. In the meantime, if you have questions or you want to suggest a guest, don't hesitate to contact me, hal@businessworks.us, and just put 941 in the subject line so I'll know that it came from News Talk 941. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with you in just a few seconds. Don't go away. Welcome to Business Works. This is Hal Alpiar. We're asking you to have a great day and come back with us, and we're going to share some information I think you'll be interested in. My guest today, special guest, Justin Davis, and his wife,
Hannah.
Hannah's not here, so but she is. But she's not here in front of me, so yeah. I miss that. But Justin and Hannah have Broast, and it's a, I don't know how you describe it, it's a coffee house?
Yeah, we're a shop and a roastery, we'll call it that.
Okay, shop and a roastery.
Yeah.
And it's in Cookeville on the west side of town on the corner of Spring and Walnut. And if you haven't tried it, you got to try it. I mean, it's really exceptional, and it's a great place to go and sit and talk business or coursework on the campus, or just in private with friends. You know, it's a different kind of environment, and it's quiet. One of the things I like about it. So we want to talk a little bit about the coronavirus, the impact that it's had on business. What Justin and his crew, Noah and Andy, have done to kind of get the business running in tandem with the disaster that we've all faced and that has really upset a lot of businesses. And then talk a little bit about the opportunities in the future. Maybe you could start us out, Justin, with a couple of comments about what you did really on the dime. to turn around and how did that happen? The virus hit, everybody's closing down, stuff is, people are in a panic, and you actually turned things around a little bit.
Fortunately, I'm also a registered nurse, and my unit actually, we're still closed. But I kind of saw it coming. I remember reaching out to the previous owner, Zach, and just like, hey, just giving you a heads up, you know, kind of talking through some stuff. Right. And I remember talking to Andy and the guys like, hey, we got to get a plan together. I've got a plan A, plan B, plan C. And I said, you know, some of this is based on what we can do. Some of it's based on people, things we can't control and things that are going to come down the pipe potentially in terms of laws or recommendations, regulations. And so, initially when it happened, things began to slow down, I said, we've got to change the way we do business. Like just coming in and seeing us isn't going to work. I was seeing people around me, friends that have businesses, just the foot traffic just decreasing. People were concerned, and still are. And so I said, well, I'll tell you what, like we've got a tent and we got a parking lot. Like, let's just do it. I said, Sonic. I noticed we drive by Sonic, and I was like, Sonic is booming. They were busier, and I actually know the owners of two of the ones here in town. And my dad works for a bread company, and the bread sales were through the roof. And he said, Sonic's, I can't get them enough. And I said, well, they got a good model there. So let's just go with that. Like it's minimal contact. It's convenient. So it makes it easier for people. It makes it safer for people. And I was talking to the guys like, how are we going to do it? I'm like, we got a tent. Let's throw up the tent. We'll move the register outside. I went and bought an iPad because we've got a register, but I'm like, we can take sales that way. So you can go to the car. Went and borrowed from our church with permission some walkie talkies. I said, we'll radio these things in. And that was kind of how the idea was born of. Right. And fortunately enough, I've, you know, two of the most influential people in business in my life. One was my grandfather, who, and this is more of a personal side, but strangely enough, him and my father-in-law is the other one. He owned a local business for years here, and my grandfather ran the bus station here for years. They both actually, my father-in-law had a heart attack on April 17th. My grandfather died the same day. Father-in-law ended up passing on the 21st. But I always was able to bounce ideas off of them. And I always saw how my grandfather, he just taught me how to solve problems. And growing up, spending time on the farm with him, that's what we did. We fixed things that were broken. And I remember calling my father-in-law going, hey, this had to be similar to you with Katrina in the oil business. And he had a lot of convenience stores and gas stations. Said, what'd you do? And we just kind of worked through things and talked through things. And I talked with the guys and we were texting. We usually have staff meetings anyways with our staff, but we had a couple of FaceTime and Zoom calls and just, hey, does everybody feel comfortable with this, safe with this? If you're not, let's make those adjustments. And we began to kind of work through those things. We'd address little hiccups as they came. And fortunately enough, we still saw a decrease, but I told, and the guys were great. All my employees just like, we're going to give it our best shot until we can't. And that's what they wanted to do too. You know, they love the business and they love the community. And ultimately, you know, having the ideas was great. Having people like we have is what made it happen.
There's a certain level of receptivity you have that allowed for that. So, you know, I'm concerned. I see the local business people really struggling with things right now and not understanding how to get themselves up and moving forward. There's a hesitancy there now that's a little nerve-wracking. The money's not coming in. The expenses are mounting. You know, what kind of advice can you suggest that worked for you that might work for others?
I think for us, it was being upfront and honest with my employees out the gate. Like, look, I can't tell you what this is going to look like tomorrow or the next day. I don't know where our foot traffic's going to be, our revenue. We're going to give it everything we can. But honest too, like, look, we can't just drive this thing into the ground to the point that there's nothing left after the fact. And so we worked through that. And I always told them, I said, if it comes to the point that it's not sustainable, we'll stop and rethink. And that was always my plan Z is what I called it. But until then, you know, we just tried to find creative ways to do different things. Being a roaster, our bagged coffee sales went up. Our online sales went up. We toyed around with the notion of delivering coffee to people's houses. And we did a few times. And we just tried to get creative and even, I know it sounds crazy, but in the middle of seeing our revenue drop, our foot traffic drop, finding new ways to give stuff away. Because ultimately, our business is based around the people who patronize it every day.
So it's don't give up trying to do things. You just keep trying. Just keep doing different things.
Yes.
And something will work, you know?
Great thing I learned at one of the churches I've been a part of, and I've seen it in books and podcasts, is fail forward. I wanted to fail going that direction than just being afraid. And I mean, I was. Yeah. I don't tend to get super emotional about that kind of stuff. I may indulge my wife a little bit more with how I'm really feeling about things than our employees, but I'm also very transparent with them. And cause I don't want to leave them on the hook. They have families and some of them are younger, college students, high school students, but I've got Noah's got a child on the way. At the time I had another employee with two kids at home and Andy was in the middle of buying a house. You know, I mean, life was still happening.
Right.
And that's the other thing I noticed too, is like, man, you know, as much as crazy as things are, and you hear, of course in our media, I've always said no one from CNN or Fox News is driving to Cookeville to see how it's going here. It's New York City, Los Angeles, Dallas, Atlanta, these large areas.
Right.
And that just wasn't Cookeville.
Well, of course, we got hit by the tornado on top of everything. Yes. So, really to start out.
yeah.
And that brought some very positive attention.
Yes, yes, it did. And you know, and that's it too. We face so much in the community and having employees who will do that, but also being a part of a community like it has. Cookeville's been good to us.
Right.
And that's one thing we want to do at the store, is like, we're always looking at who our people are. It's easy to impart what you want to be on a business, but ultimately, if we were just left to do the things that we wanted to do all the time, we would only have the people just like us.
So it's also keeping your eyes open for opportunities and your ears and listen to what people say.
Absolutely.
And that those skills come from being a pastor, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So, and a nurse.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you have to have all those characteristics and qualities. So if you don't, and you have a business right now and you're really struggling and worrying about it, start to think in more receptive terms and listen to more people. Take notes, talk to people, get an idea of what other people think. Don't cut them off. Let them explain what they're thinking about. And sometimes you'd be surprised at where the ideas may come from. But the idea that you need to keep in mind is to just keep charging forward and keep doing it. Don't give up on it. You will run into the right situation. And if you don't, then send me an email and I'll point you somewhere. What are you looking at right now in terms of expansion plans for the business?
Yeah, so we actually just recently, one thing I wanted to do, the building we're in isn't really outfitted for it. Is to expand food offerings. We just kind of had some grab and go stuff, but recently we've partnered with Rodney at the Backroom Bistro here in town, which is a pretty good staple in terms of a local place here in Cookeville. And we talked in the past about it. I kind of have the equipment I needed, and so over time I've been planning to do that, and we jumped in and went after it. And so we want to be good at coffee, and sometimes I think we can get too kind of spread ourselves a little too thin. And so my plans is to continue to try to do that type of idea with other offerings. Partner with people who are good at what they're good at and let them just be a part of our business and us be a part of theirs.
Great. Thank you so much. We really appreciate that you were here today with us to share these stories. And we look forward to having you tune in next week. You can get our podcasts at newstalk941.com/podcasts. And when you get there, look us up. Thank you. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Business Works. Download your favorites and keep up with new episodes in the Hints and Oakley Podcast Center.